Hi, everyone. Welcome to the MRP Tech Podcast. This is episode 55. My name is Matt, and this is the weekly podcast discussing everyday tech for everyday people. Thanks again for joining me this week. Hopefully, I've got another great show with another great topic that you might be interested in. And before I get into the main topic today, what I want to do is just kind of round things up from the last couple of weeks. I've been talking about ham radio and my recent adventures in learning a little bit more about ham radio. And I just kind of want to sum up what has happened over the last couple of weeks and sort of tie up a few loose ends that I wasn't able to do last week. So, as I mentioned last week, what I have been doing is preparing for the ham technical license to become a ham radio operator, and knew nothing about it. This was sort of something that I just wanted to do to learn something different, learn something new, and maybe eventually be able to show my students that even though it's hard, even though it's a lot of work, that you can learn about things that you haven't had any idea of in the past. So sometimes learning something difficult is very rewarding if you stick it through. So this past Saturday, I had signed up for the local tech exam, and it's probably about a 15-minute drive across town. So I got up early Saturday morning, and I had been preparing for the test with the iOS apps, the free exams that you can take to sort of study for the exam, and they're the exact same questions. You kind of prepare yourself for what you're going to do. And my goal was to take not only the tech exam but also the general exam, and I knew I kind of had a slim shot at the general exam. And as I took these practice exam, I was passing the tech exam no problem. And it was really hit or miss with the general exam. So I was one try at the exam, I would pass by maybe one question correct. The next I would fail by one question, and it was back and forth. And sometimes I would score really well. Sometimes I would get a bunch of questions where I failed miserably. So I had really no expectations when it came to the general exam. My goal was the tech and to shoot for the general and see what would happen. So I arrive at this emergency services center, and I sort of walk in the building, and the building is sort of a maze. So I'm walking down hallways, and there's no signage, and I'm not really sure exactly where to go. And I come across a room with some ham radio operators, and it's obviously set up for ham radio, and probably four or five older guys in the room. And I kind of said, well, I'm here for the exam. And they pointed me down the hall to the exam room. So I walk into the exam room, and there's probably, I would say, five or six volunteer examiners there ready to give the test. And I was wondering if I was going to be the only one there taking the test. They give this exam every 2 months in my area. And basically, there was another guy there that was ready to take the test. And so they sat us down, and they give us all the information to fill out. So they give us an examination booklet. They give us an answer sheet, as well as another sheet with just our general information, name, address, etc. What you have to do, you have to match the booklet number, the test booklet number, on your answer sheet. And so I wrote down the numbers and began the test. And the first five questions of the tech exam, I had taken all of these practice exams, and the first five questions right in a row were five questions I had never seen before. And I thought, oh no, this is going to be not fun at all. And but as soon as I got past the fifth question, every single question after that, I was aware of the question, I knew the answer, and I felt pretty good after taking the test. And so as I was taking the test, the guy next to me, he was working on a different test, and so I finished the test, I went through all of my answers and handed it back, and I sort of heard some murmuring from the the volunteers that were giving the test and saying things like, oh, that was quick, and maybe a little surprised them a little bit. And shortly after I turned in the test, the guy next to me turned in his test, and they went through the grading process. And nothing high-tech about this grading process. They have an overlay that has all the correct answers on, and basically very easy for them to mark off any incorrect answer on your answer sheet. So as I'm doing this, I'm sort of watching the first guy grade the paper with a giant red pen, and I'm sort of counting how many marks he makes, and so I knew basically about how many it would be before I failed the test. So luckily on the first test, he only marked off a couple of wrong answers, so I kind of figured that I passed the first test, and I sort of did the same thing with the other person who was taking his test when his paper was graded. I kind of figured, I counted how many times they marked his paper, and he passed his test as well. So once they went through, three different people graded it and marked it and signed the paper. Next, they say, would you like to take the general exam? And they went on, and they were actually very nice. They explained to the other guy taking the test that with the general exam, it's a free shot. And with this free shot, you know, you just kind of get used to the exam. So if you fail the exam, no big deal. Come back in a little bit if you want to try again. But just do it for the fun of it. You get used to taking, you get used to seeing what the format is of the test. I thought that was really nice of them to do. So they were very helpful. And so then we went through the same process with the you know, signing the answer sheets and with the correct book number, etc., on this exam. And with the second exam, I was expecting far more math than I actually had on the test, and just happened to be I got the luck of the draw with the questions. And so as I was going through, I realized, okay, I know most of these questions. I've seen most of these questions before, and here we go. This is my best shot. Take your time answering the questions. Make sure you know, give it your best shot. We'll see what happens. So I start going through all the questions, and basically what happened was I would answer every single question on the test, 35 questions. Then I'd go backwards and double check my answers and fill in the answer sheet a little more clearly so they could see it when they actually graded the paper. So finish the exam. I turn in the paperwork, and I see them immediately with their red pen making marks again on the incorrect answers, and I start counting the marks, and I'm thinking, oh boy, this is going to be close. I'm not sure if I'm going to make it or not. And luckily, I was able to pass the general exam as well. The other person that took the test that day, not so much. He actually did not pass his general exam, and but he was just happy having the tech license. He said, I'm going to come back in June. I'm going to take the next exam. I think he was a little bummed that he didn't get a chance to pass the general exam. And I was expecting to be done there. But then they asked me, would you like to take the third exam, the amateur extra exam? And so I said, hey, what the heck? I'm here. Have your red pen ready, because I haven't studied, and you're going to need a lot of red ink for this one. So I went through all of the questions on the third exam, did not have a clue about any of the topics. And so obviously the third exam, I did not pass because I did not prepare for it, and I wasn't expecting to prepare for it. So yes, they needed to use lots of red ink on my answer sheet for the third exam. But who knows, someday maybe I'll decide to go for that third exam, and we'll see when the time comes for that. So I'm excited to get started with ham radio. The testing experience went really well. All the people there were pretty friendly, and they were kind of excited for us taking the exam. And so I think that's the way it should be. I'm really glad that they were able to. I was expecting only about three people, but I counted probably about at least 10 ham radio operators there on exam day. You know, certain few of them were giving the exams, but it's kind of cool to see, you know, that many people show up just to kind of help out. So the downside about passing these exams, if you've never taken them before, is that you have to wait like a week and a half before you can start operating a radio. So you have to wait for them to take their paperwork and send it into the FCC. You have to get a call sign. You have to wait for your name to appear on a database in order for you to start transmitting, because I took both exams at once. It seems to me that there would be a faster way to do this. You know, being 2017, you know, should they be able to just upload your exams to the FCC rather than mail them? You know, it seems to me there must be a faster way than by mail, but who knows? But so now I'm in the waiting process. I'll let you know what comes of that in the future. But in the meantime, when I got back from my exam, I came across some breaking news that sort of caught me off guard, and that's what the main topic is going to be here today. So, going through some of my news feeds, I came across a post by Mark Shuttleworth talking about the next long-term release of Ubuntu. And this is sort of taking all of the news websites by storm here. And I'm sure many other podcasts talk about this as well, and it's going to be a hot topic for the next few weeks, I think. I just wanted to add my two cents in here about Ubuntu and its recent news release that they're switching from Unity back to GNOME in 18.04 LTS. So last week, Mark Shuttleworth announced that Canonical is ending its investment in Unity 8 Mir and Ubuntu phone and tablets, and they are no longer going to pursue the goal of convergence. I found this quite shocking, honestly, but not surprising. And I think many Linux users out there who are really adamant about Ubuntu or Linux in general didn't really find that surprising as well. And over the last few years, Ubuntu has sort of shifted its model from this convergence scenario to more cloud computing, and they're doing really well with its cloud infrastructure. So basically, Mark Shuttleworth goes on to say he was wrong about Ubuntu Phone. They're ending everything. Unity 8 is dead in the water. It will not be continued on into the future. And going back and looking now on 6 years of development, okay, so one of my favorite releases of Ubuntu was Ubuntu 10.04 and Ubuntu 10.10, where, if they advertise it as the perfect 10 release, and I think it actually kind of was. It was a really strong, really stable desktop environment built off of Ubuntu that was just fun to use. It was had its issues, but along came something called Ubuntu Netbook Remix that had what would later be called the Unity desktop environment. And it looked modern, it looked flashy, it looked exciting. And when 11.04 was released, Ubuntu switched to the Unity desktop. And it sort of caught a lot of longtime Linux users by storm, and sort of angered all of these longtime users who really loved and cared about using something like Ubuntu. And when this happened, I was excited about the change, but I knew Unity wasn't fully functional. And 11.04 was a one of those six month releases, and you know they were going to iterate on it. So 11.04 came around, and 11.10 came around, and 12.04, the next long term support release, came out. And Ubuntu was much more polished at that time. And I started seeing the vision, and I was thinking, okay, this is something that's usable now. It's still not great, but it's usable. And, you know, we'll look towards the future, and we'll see what happens. Well, 12.10 would come out, 13.04 came out, 13.10 came out, and not much happened in those releases, and people started making comments about Ubuntu starting to get boring and Ubuntu, you know, being stable, but it's nothing special at this point in time. And the next long-term support came out, 14.04, and Ubuntu was great. It was pretty solid for the most part, it was stable for most people. And we just didn't see much change. And people started saying things like Ubuntu looks old and Ubuntu hasn't had a whole lot of love. And now we start talking about things like, okay, Canonical has a mission about Ubuntu phones and convergence, and they're working on Ubuntu Touch, and they're working on all these other things except for the desktop. And we have all these Linux users that were starting to complain that Ubuntu has lost its focus, that they're not caring about desktop users, that they are on a fleeting mission to bring this mythological convergence to users. And we saw a couple of Ubuntu phones released. We saw Ubuntu Touch released. And all of these things I had interest in, and it would never line up. I wouldn't be able to try an Ubuntu Touch device. I couldn't go out and get one basically anywhere. They would only sell limited amounts, and you couldn't try it in a virtual machine without doing lots of trickery in the process, and just really didn't make it easy to get access to. And development was an issue on Ubuntu Touch. And as time went on, you know, we get into Ubuntu 14.10, 15.04, 15.10, 16.04, and we keep hearing about Unity 8 being released and being worked on. And last October, with 16.10, I believe, the last release of Ubuntu, I actually tried Unity 8, and I was thinking, yeah, okay, I know it's not finished. I know they've been working on it for years now. No, it's not finished, but let's try it out and we'll see where it is. And when I did that, I was actually seriously unimpressed. And I was thinking, okay, now they've been working on this a long time. Where is this going? What are they going to do with this? And I was kind of wondering the future of it in itself. So, and I did make some comments on that in a previous podcast about my thoughts on Unity 8. I've never really had an issue with the Unity desktop. I think it was kind of something different, something recognizable. I think there was a lot of people out there that wanted it to be kind of like the Mac desktop in certain ways. And, you know, it's kind of cool to walk around town. And, with my wife, and we were going to go curtain shopping. We walked to this curtain store that I had never been in before, just a small mom and pop type store. And as we walk in the door, my wife is looking at all of the curtains in the store because we're looking to purchase curtains for a house. And my first eyes hit their computer screen and realized that they were using Ubuntu with the Unity desktop. And, and that's all I could think about for the next 15 to 20 minutes was wanting to talk to them about Linux. But, so it was recognizable, the Unity desktop. But in the same time, every time that I tried to use Ubuntu, I couldn't customize it the way that I like to customize Linux. I couldn't do various things other things that I like to do. And it did look old. It did look like it was being abandoned. And, that basically had the same ugly desktop background every single time. It looked a little different every release, but it sort of took the fun away from using Linux from me. And ultimately, I decided to switch to something with GNOME 3. I switched to Antergos with a little bit more modern software. And in the process, I learned more about Linux by switching to Arch Linux and then Antergos afterwards. But this article that I came across, and actually I've read several of them, really piqued my interest again, because Mark Shuttleworth says that despite the failures with the phone, Ubuntu is a hit with cloud. And now they're going to be focusing back on the desktop. And they want to continue sort of in the way Ubuntu was in the pre-Unity days, where they took what upstream developers were doing and designing, and then putting Ubuntu on top of that with some customization and making Ubuntu what it was. It really enhanced the GNOME desktop in many ways. So moving ahead in the future, okay, it sounds as if Canonical is giving up Mir and moving to the Wayland desktop, or Wayland display server. And I think this is the right direction for them. And I really am sort of excited again about Ubuntu. You know, there are many Ubuntu desktops out there, and it's used by a whole lot of different consumers and many different businesses. And I really think the GNOME desktop is the way to go. Like I said in the past, I don't have any issues with Unity, but I know a lot of people do. And a lot of Linux users voice their concerns online over the last 6 years. But it also makes me wonder, you know, what's going to happen to, like, the Ubuntu GNOME project? Are they going to be asked to contribute to the project? Is that project going to go away? I guess we don't know. This is still early in the process itself. So I'm sure we'll find out more information over the next few weeks. But here's my concern, okay? And I don't know if anybody else out there has said this. I'm actually wondering if they will implement this GNOME desktop in Ubuntu 17.10 this coming release in October. I'm wondering that because I think they should do that, because 18.04 is a long-term support release, and I think they should kind of work out some bugs before they switch entirely back to GNOME. And here is the reason. So I actually went over the last couple of days. I have installed Ubuntu GNOME 16.10 in a virtual machine and on some hardware. And there are some issues there that I kind of ran across, especially in VirtualBox. I couldn't get GNOME working well with Ubuntu. I think they should give it some love first before they put it into the LTS release and work out some of those other issues like Wi-Fi and everything else that they've been working on. And I hope, and I really think this is going to happen, I really think they're going to put some much needed love into the Ubuntu desktop. And that makes me excited about Ubuntu again, to the point where I would consider switching back full-time to Ubuntu with the GNOME desktop. I know it's available through Ubuntu GNOME now. That to me isn't as polished as Ubuntu was. So I would hope to try it out in Ubuntu 17.10 in the future. And at this point, I'm still excited about the up-and-coming release of Ubuntu. Later on this week, Ubuntu 17.04 is being released, and I'm excited to give it a shot. You know, every 6 months or so, I always check out the latest Ubuntu release, and with all of this, you know, they have put a lot of hard work into Unity, and let's see what this final release looks like over the next few weeks, and see what they've been working on. And that's kind of what I like to see about Ubuntu with these 6 months release cycles. So what do you think about this switch to GNOME? Do you think it's a positive thing? Do you think this is the right direction for Ubuntu? Do you think they should have sticked with Unity and the Unity desktop and Mir? You know, it's kind of sort of sad to see Ubuntu Phone and Ubuntu Touch for tablets go away. And it's kind of unfortunate that, you know, they took a bold step. They were trying something nobody else was doing. They were trying to move to this mobile environment that is overwhelmed with Android and iOS. And I think it was worth a shot. And I don't think the last 6 years were a waste. I think it could have been done a little bit differently, and with still some love to the desktop and to not maybe alienate users as much. But there are a lot of good people there doing a lot of great work. And I'm looking forward now to the next few releases of Ubuntu, which honestly I was sort of starting to get a little, you know, meh about. I was trying to stay excited about Ubuntu. I was a longtime Ubuntu user for many years. And this makes me look ahead to the future, and I'm super excited about it. So let me know what you think. You can go over to mrptechreviews.com, hit the contact form, and let me know. And I'd be really curious about your thoughts. And at the same time, if you have a few minutes, could you, I would just like to ask, if you're listening to this podcast and you enjoy the Podnuts Tech Podcast Network, please go over to the website, podnuts.com, and hit the donation button there, and give a small donation to Steve and the rest of the crew over there for all of their hard work. I think, you know, a lot of times myself, as aside from being a podcast host, a lot of times I consume podcasts, various different podcasts, and you know, I sort of just a listener, and I sort of stand back, and I don't do a whole lot with a lot of other shows, but I do listen, and occasionally I sort of feel obligated to make a donation and to keep them going. I've done this with a few different podcasts out there, especially if I listen to them week after week. And just as that's just a way I like to say thank you for doing what you're doing, because they do a great job over there. And I'm glad to be a part of that network. They have been tremendously helpful behind the scenes. And so go over to the podnuts.com and hit the donation button or subscribe button, and let them know that you're out there and that you're listening, and that you support what they do. That's going to do it for this week. I've got a great show lined up for next week, and I'm excited to talk about maybe the next release of Ubuntu in the future. So I appreciate you listening week after week. That's going to do it for this week. We'll see you next time.